I'm Michael Lippin, and this is Voice of America's VOA China 360, a weekly podcast looking at how China influences the rest of the world and how China is influenced by the world, including America. In this edition, we're looking at U.S. President-elect Donald Trump sending mixed signals to China with his nominations of two key officials who would help him to manage the U.S.-China relationship should those officials be confirmed by the Senate. On the one hand, Trump has nominated a U.S. ambassador to China, Terry Branstad, who Beijing has praised as an old friend of the Chinese people. Branstad, the current Republican governor of Iowa, has visited China 7 times and has personally known Chinese President Xi Jinping for more than 3 decades, dating back to when Xi was a junior official visiting Iowa on a fact-finding mission in 1985. But on the other hand, Trump also has nominated a U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the CEO of U.S. energy giant ExxonMobil, who has had warmer ties to Russia's rulers and oil companies than those of China. Tillerson's Russia ties have prompted some observers in China to tell Western media that they think his mission as chief U.S. diplomat might be to flip Russia from being an ally of China to being an ally of America. Andy Serwer, chief editor of the Yahoo Finance news site, tells me that that kind of speculation came up when he met with Chinese business figures in Beijing earlier this month.
When Rex Tillerson was announced as Trump's choice as Secretary of State, I happened to be with a number of Chinese oil executives. And, of course, they were particularly interested in the choice and had some strong opinions. First of all, they had a couple of them had questions that anyone might have, which is this guy qualified? He, you know, represented Exxon, certainly has global experience, but as a representative, as the chief executive of Exxon, and that doesn't match being the Secretary of State of the United States. And then the second thing, though, was that they noted, and they knew right away about his close ties to Russia and to Putin, and they suggested that this was something that would be, you know, seen as a sign to China.
Tillerson has had some business dealings with China as well. The Guardian newspaper says he has visited the country with Exxon at least 5 times since 2008, most recently meeting the head of Chinese state-run energy company CNPC in July. I asked Serwer if any of his contacts had met the Exxon CEO.
They didn't have any personal interactions with Tillerson, but they did note the fact that China has long had Exxon's presence in the country. And, you know, Exxon started selling kerosene there 100 years ago, and it now has a fairly significant operation there. And, you know, they sort of said, well, you know, if Rex Tillerson's going to be all buddy-buddy, you know, with Russia, then, you know, the Chinese government no doubt will take note vis-a-vis Exxon's presence in China. And, you know, I said, well, at that point, he would no longer be the chief executive of Exxon. And they sort of said, well, that doesn't matter.
That kind of comment raises a possibility that Chinese authorities could take note by retaliating against Exxon for any attempt by a Secretary of State Tillerson to push Moscow away from Beijing. Serwer says that possibility occurred to him after chatting with the executives.
That's a very speculative point and a lot of conjecture there, a lot of if-thens. And, you know, none of these people, you know, spoke for the highest authorities in China or President Xi for that matter. But, you know, that seemed to be the thinking. And, you know, of course, we've already seen, you know, what sort of might amount to that in the auto industry, where the Chinese government announced that it was taking action against U.S. automakers. And some people have speculated that that is in retaliation for some of Trump's statements and the phone call with the president of Taiwan. And, of course, the Chinese government denied it. And, you know, if there was ever something, an action taken against Exxon, you know, the Chinese government might deny that it had anything to do with Rex Tillerson. And, you know, we'd actually have no way of knowing. So there's a lot of opaqueness, potentially. And, you know, it's very hard to know how things might pan out. I mean, it might be the case that Rex Tillerson would make a deal with the Chinese and the Russians together when it comes to oil and gas. Or he may not have anything to do with oil and gas at all. And, you know, it's as Secretary of State, he should probably seek to, you know, do more with regard to nation building and relations between countries than business.
As the head of Exxon, Tillerson has made other deals that have drawn concern from China. Among them are an Exxon agreement with Vietnam to drill for natural gas in South China Sea waters, most of which are claimed by Beijing. China apparently warned Exxon to stop its Vietnamese pursuits in June 2008, according to published news reports citing unnamed sources close to the company and leaked U.S. diplomatic cables. Serwer says this particular concern didn't come up in his conversations with the Chinese oil industry.
But I will tell you that there's just an awful lot of recalibrating and head-scratching going on in China with regard to President-elect Trump and Rex Tillerson and the members of his cabinet. I mean, this is a big, you know, reset in the same way that it is for all manners of strata of U.S. political thinking, and the same is true in China. And so, you know, sure, all of a sudden it's like, hey, that the Secretary of State is the CEO of that company we were complaining about, you know, with regard to Vietnam. And then people are going to get together and talk about that and see what that means. So, man, there is a lot of gnashing of teeth, rethinking of things. And, you know, it's sort of very similar in China as it is in the United States. I mean, some people love Donald Trump, some people hate Donald Trump, but everybody's talking about Donald Trump and the people he's picked and the actions he's taken.
China's foreign ministry has issued only a general response to Trump's nomination of Tillerson. It expressed a willingness to work with whoever is confirmed as the next U.S. Secretary of State and to hope that both sides can work together to enhance communication and cooperation. But China has responded more directly and critically to Trump's other recent moves, including his taking a phone call last month from the president of Taiwan, which Beijing calls a renegade province. Trump said he took that call because Taiwan's Tsai Ing-wen wanted to congratulate him on his election victory and that he appreciated the courtesy. He also has triggered the ire of Chinese state media for using Twitter to bash Beijing's policies and its capture this month of an underwater U.S. drone in the South China Sea. Explaining Trump's words and deeds to Beijing officials would be the responsibility of ambassadorial nominee Terry Branstad, says China analyst Robert Daly.
If it is true that President Trump is going to be unpredictable, as he has promised to be, the Chinese government, of course, values predictability very highly. And if he is going to continue to reach out to Taiwan, to threaten China on the trade side, to be interested in building up the American military presence in Asia, but also he's going to want to do deals with China, this is complex. There's not a single clear narrative to present to the Chinese, you know, that either that Trump is pro-China or anti-China or whatever it's going to be. Ambassador Branstad's job is going to be to help make sense of a range of unpredictable and not necessarily consistent, from China's point of view, policies to the Chinese. That's going to be, it looks like, a difficult but a very important job.
Daly, who directs the Washington-based Wilson Center's Kissinger Institute on China and the United States, tells me that Branstad has some advantages in being an effective messenger to China.
I haven't met Governor Branstad, so I do not speak from any personal experience. But my first response was that it looks like a fairly solid appointment in that you have a governor who knows the American system very well and can speak to the American system and the American values. You have an early Trump supporter who appears to be quite close to the president, whose son ran the candidate Trump's Iowa campaign. And this is important for the Chinese because they need to know that whoever they're talking to can talk to the president and that their points have landed and that their messages have been delivered. This has long been a concern for China and remains a concern. It appears that he can do that. He also understands the importance of the trade relationship, particularly trade in agricultural goods, corn and soybeans from Iowa. And so all of that is positive. I think this is especially important because most foreign affairs Trump appointees seem to have a more hardline stance toward China on both the security and the economic fronts. And so having as an ambassador somebody with a history of trade cooperation and a more constructive view of the bilateral relationship, I think, will be welcome.
But Daly says Bronstad also would face limitations on his ability to influence U.S.-China relations.
It's important to note that American ambassadors to our missions overseas generally do not have a major voice informing American policy toward those countries. So it is unlikely that as an ambassador, he would have a major voice in shaping American-China policy. His job is to oversee the foreign service officers who are involved in American citizen services and visas, which are very important, people who cooperate with China on things like drug enforcement, food safety. He's also going to be responsible for the shops that handle the trips of visiting dignitaries from Washington, which are very important. And he will be in a position to report back to Washington constantly through the embassy on how American policies and American statements are received in China, all of which are extremely important, and all of which the Foreign Service, I think, excels in for the most part. But he probably won't be making policy.
Could China's recognition of Bronstad as an old friend of its people and president make a difference?
I would not put too much faith in that. It's a nice way to start. It's more than just icing on the cake to be known to them. But that will last until the Chinese give their first démarche expressing their extreme displeasure with a major American policy, at which point friendship won't enter into it. It isn't really credible that he and Xi Jinping are close friends. This is something that both sides will use initially to create a warm, positive atmosphere and to try to make things work well. But there's no reason to believe that this is a real friendship of any depth or meaning to either man, which can be drawn on for a well of sympathy when things get tough. It's largely symbolic. Again, it's a nice thing to be able to begin with, and I don't mean to be cynical about it, but it's just as it can't have been true that President Xi Jinping and President Obama rolled up their shirt sleeves and really got to know each other sort of guy to guy and had a personal relationship. This wasn't true, nor is it true that these are old friends. And the notion of old friend of China, on the one hand, it's intended purely in a friendly, positive way from the Chinese side, but it can be a bit of a two-edged sword in that old friends are not supposed to be critics. And ambassadors at times have to deliver extremely critical and unpleasant messages. And so the question will be, how much does friendship matter then? But overall, it sends an initially positive signal, deliberately or not.
What do you think about the mixed signals being sent to China by Donald Trump's latest foreign diplomacy nominees? Share your opinions on Twitter at VOAChina360 and on my Facebook journalist page, which is under my name, Michael Lippin, as well as on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/VOA-English. I also invite you to listen to this podcast on iTunes. Just do a search for VOAChina360 and subscribe. That's it for me for this time. I'll be back next week with another VOA China 360.